Thank you very much, Doug Farquhar, engaging state legislators in environmental health sciences issues, and I have no relationships to disclose outside my many relationships I have in this room. So thank you very much for everybody coming. I'm a bit of a geek when it comes to state legislators. I love talking about the different issues and the different topics and how every state deals with issues in a different manner. And the reason I wanted to bring this up was to talk about, you know, first of all, there's 7,383 state legislators out there, meaning you've got somebody who's got expertise on everything somewhere out there. Somebody's got an expertise on environmental health, doctors, nurses, a wide range of public health officials that serve in the state legislature. That is something that an excellent resource for us that we probably should be tapping into. Now, the difference may be that you have certain states like New Hampshire, 400 legislative seats, so one for every 2,000 people. Everybody in New Hampshire at one point in their life has to serve, I think. It's kind of basically. Alaska, 20. Very small, very, when you sit in the chamber, you're actually sitting right behind state legislators. When I was in there, I was watching a state legislator in front of me read Guns and Ammo and flip through, and then he was showing me pictures of neat guns you can get and whatnot. So it's a very small, intimate setting. But then you got California and Texas. And the Texas legislature Senate seats are like dealing with Congress. These are, you know, essentially congressional seats. Same thing with California. These are congressional seats, but in California, you're term limited. So after 8 years, you're out of there. And what happens is most of the time they move on to a different place, a new body. They try to run for Congress or they run for a different commission. So we have a real fast, rapid pace of legislators that come in. Even in the most stable states without term limits that have a, you know, good, adequate funding, you still see between 30% and 40% turnover every session. You just are always dealing with new legislators. That's just part of the animal. Sessions. Every state legislator works year-round. They're only in session for a certain number of days. Several states have year-round legislatures, but you have a lot of states like New Mexico, their first year of the session, they're in for 3 months. The second year, they're in for 1 month. Texas, it's 6 months every other year, except for then they have specials, one after the other. You know, they're kind of like fighting reality. They're in session year-round, but they can tell their voters we're only in session for 6 months, you know, just ignoring other issues. You know, every state has their own way of dealing with a bill introduction. When you get to Louisiana, New Mexico, they have in their off year, they have a fiscal session. You can't introduce anything unless it's related to fiscal. In the first year of their biennium, you can introduce anything, but the second year, it's limited. So if you know, have a crisis like a BP oil spill during the fiscal year, you have to call a special session to deal with that issue rather than doing it during the regular session. So, and then on the other hand, you have New York. And if you want to find a state that's dealing with any sort of environmental health issue, antimicrobials, raw milk legislation, pro, against, healthy housing, lead in low income, lead in high income, they have all these bills out there and none of them ever pass. I have been tracking bills in New York for 25 years and they introduce the most fascinating bills out there, things to address really critical environmental health issues, and none of them ever pass. And that's just part of the deal that you have to address. Whereas when I work with Mississippi, if they introduce it, you got a good chance it's going to get passed. So I always have hope because there's Mississippi out there. Not too many people say that. One of the things that has been the interesting thing over the past 5 years is the Republicans taking over the legislature. Now, a lot of what this is really equating to is the South has finally let, basically, the system has worked to the point where Republicans are taking over. Now, mind you, we went from conservative Democrats to conservative Republicans. It's not like we're seeing a radical change down there. It's, in a lot of respects, the Republicans are modernizing the legislature. And as I said, when the Democrats controlled Mississippi, we never saw bills on obesity taxes. But now we're seeing bills in Mississippi on obesity taxes. So in some respects, the Republicans are modernizing the Southern legislatures. But they've also made huge inroads in the Midwest. This is their high water mark since 1928. There haven't been this many Republican legislators since 1928. Now, what does that mean? Nothing. It means that they still have to deal with the same problems. That they still have to deal with fracking and waste. They still have to deal with water quality. They still have to deal with environmental justice issues. Just because you're a different party doesn't mean the problem goes away. A couple of things. You know what? I think I'm going to hold off on that issue. Where are we going? Okay, state legislators. One of the interesting thing about state legislators, like I said, there's 7,383. You will find PhDs out there. Mike Fortner teaches chemistry at Northern Illinois University. He's a state legislator. Phyllis Kahn has been in the Minnesota legislature since 1973. She has been the scientific conscience of that state. Carla Drenner, she has been working on, she has a PhD in environmental services, and she is in the Georgia state legislature. We've had other well-qualified people, David Osterberg in the Iowa legislature, Vern Ehlers in Michigan. He was in the legislature for 10 years before moving on into Congress. All these folks have a strong scientific background. They understand scientific research. That doesn't mean that every bill comes out is going to have a real strong overview on environmental health. But we are seeing a lot of bills out there, and this is a little bit, this isn't going to reach the level of the scientific certainty that this group likes to go for, because every year there are new issues that come up and other ones that go away and new things get tracked and whatnot. But we do see quite a bit of activity out there. One of the things that I really often highlight is the fact that 10 years ago, I didn't see one bill on chemical safety. State legislatures did not deal with chemical safety. Now we're seeing close to 400 bills getting introduced, and a lot of them are getting enacted. States are getting involved in chemical safety. Where the federal government is not acting, the states are acting. Hydraulic fracturing. 10, 15 years ago, there was no activity on that. Now we're seeing enormous number of activities. We're seeing bills on drinking water, tattoo, scarification, a wide range of issues that make it a real challenge for us to keep ahead of things and trying to say that, environmental health is static out there in the legislatures. No, it's not static. It's evolving, it's growing, and it's getting to be more and more important, and they're starting to face issues that they don't know how to deal with. So for us, how do we present on environmental health research in a manner that will interest state legislatures? Can we actually talk about the research that we've done or that you have done to a state legislative audience? Well, yes, depending on how you couch it. For us, we couched it in three broad areas: environmental justice, hydraulic fracturing, and environmental health. And that was important because we've talked a lot about hydraulic fracturing, but not how it relates to health, and water and health. And this was another challenge because the West Coast folks wanted to talk about water quantity, the East Coast folks wanted to talk about water quality. Well, how do you make that universal and nationwide? Well, we try to talk about it from a health aspect, And that gave us the opportunity to make it a nationwide dialogue and discussion. Getting legislators there was another huge challenge. As David said, it's very difficult to get more than 15 to 20 folks at some of our regional meetings. But for this one, we had, Robin, you counted 73 total?
At the top?
Over 100 come to the session. Now, we weren't able to really delve down into each one of the issues, but we were able to open things up and discuss dialogues that we hadn't in the past. And by tapping into these different caucuses that we've worked with, and especially for environmental justice, I wanted to make sure we had an invitation to each one of the various caucuses that deal with minority issues. I wanted to make sure the National Caucus of Environmental Legislators were there. We brought in the Ag Task Force to talk about water. That helped really bring in a big audience to meet the goal at our national meeting, which was to introduce state legislators to environmental health research, the research that you all do. And the final thing we did was we did videotaping of all the PhDs, scientists that were at the session. We were able to do a quick video. It is up online, and this allows something for people to download. We have our own NCSL YouTube video site, so it gets a lot of mileage that way, and was able to, for us to expand our universe and touch on even more people. Do we have wins all the time? No. One of our biggest I'm not going to say it's defeat because it's never defeat, but one of our issues was Wyoming Senate Bill 12, which makes it illegal to collect any data on federal lands, which has come to mean that any sort of scientific research, anytime you're collecting data, taking pictures, counting cattle, counting animals, almost anything is now a criminal act in the state of Wyoming. It's being challenged by at the federal level. It is not going to pass court muster. It's just ridiculous. But it does show that we probably need to talk to the Wyoming legislature a little bit more and get more ideas out there on science. Texas passed House Bill 1835 this year. That made it anytime the state has a contract with the Food and Drug Administration over food safety issues, which they do all the time, it's subject to public comment. And you understand from the grant world that if you are trying to get a grant and all of a sudden you have to tell your grant officer, we need to wait 6 months for public comments, that's going to have an incredible chilling effect on the bottom line. Now, there have been workarounds on this bill, so it's nothing to panic about, but it just shows that there's an enormous amount of work we need to do out there to get state legislators understanding and appreciating all the work that is being done by the research universities. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Robin.